events. Check that out. If you want to check out what's going on at ULC, you can go to ulcannarbor.org/events and check out what's going on there. So, all right. Thank you all. And we have a word that Gabe is going to deliver for us. Brother, take it away.
Friends, can I invite you all to please stand in honor of God's word. Our scripture reading for today is from John 1, 1 through 5, verses 14 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right. If we have any young friends with us today that want to come forward, we have a children's message for you. If you want to come and sit right here. Right where the baptism just happened. Come on up. And if you're not familiar, we send a box home with one friend every week, and they bring it back with something that the rest of us have never seen before, but we see what it is, how it's used, and how it points us to Jesus. So let's all take, coming on up, take a look. Ooh, and then we have reminders to give you at the end of our time together. So, all right, thank you guys all for coming up. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Did any of you shake your presents at Christmas to see what's in them before you opened them? Anybody do that? Some of you. All right. Some honest ones here. Thank you. You shouldn't have, though. Well, I mean, you didn't open it, right?
You should not shake them because what if this thing is glass?
That's true. If it's glass, you shouldn't. But I don't think anybody brought glass. So is it okay if I shake this one? All right. Let's see. All right, sounds like it's kind of roly, but really light. Let's see what it is. Oh, it's not roly at all. And this is from our friend Zeke, who can't be here today, but he says hi. All right, so it is a soldier on a parachute. Maybe it's a soldier. Maybe it's just a dude in a parachute. All right, what can you do with somebody attached to a parachute like this? Oh, man, that's really inventive. I was just thinking you throw it up in the air and let it drop, but you could find a vent or maybe a blower at home, something that's shooting up air, right, Johannes?
Or a leaf blower.
I like where your head's going, buddy. You and me. And you can, yeah, throw it up, and it'll parachute down. You could also go to someplace high, like up on the balcony, and with a parent's permission, carefully drop it over the edge, right? And what's cool is, right, no matter...
It has a parachute.
It has a parachute, so it's not going to just fall down and crash, right? Does he ever crash to the ground?
No.
No, he always falls gently to the ground. Yeah. All right.
Because the parachute is perpendicular to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Right? What's that, bud?
Hold on.
A parachute is basically trapping air, too. And what'd you say,
Clara? A parachute to help people come down safely.
Yeah. A parachute helps people come down safely. Now, how could a man coming down safely in a parachute with air gathered underneath it, how does that point us to Jesus?
Well, Jesus will come down to us.
Jesus will come down to us, and he'll do it safely, but it's going to happen all of a sudden, right? Not gently. It's going to happen all of a sudden. Another way it points us to Jesus is coming to mind for me. Sometimes after you have something that's great and wonderful and big, kind of like Christmas, and you come down from it, you're just kind of like, right? you're just kind of a little tired, maybe a little cranky. Maybe you need a nap. I know I do, right? And so sometimes we need some things that help us come down gently. And Jesus is somebody that catches you in the midst of how you're feeling. Maybe you're feeling down or tired or cranky, right? And he catches you and he tells you, I love you. I've got you. Have some rest. Take a breath. Take a nap. And I'll be with you when you wake up, right? And so Jesus catches you. He supports you. He makes sure you don't go crashing to the ground. But he's with you. And he's not just with you when you're up in the air or when you're on the ground. He's with you all the way, right? That's pretty cool. All right, and where do we hear stories about Jesus that tell us about how he catches us? We hear that in the Bible. Another name for the Bible is God's Word. And these little reminders remind us that God's Word is sweet, all right? So, yeah, I know, chocolate, right? We'll get to that in a moment. Who is going to be here next week that can take the box home? Charles, I see your hand. Okay. You will be here next week. Thank you, brother. Don't go anywhere just yet because we're going to pray. Can you guys fold your hands, close your eyes, bow your head, and repeat after me? Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for catching me, loving me, giving me what I need. Help me to see what you do. To give you thanks and to share what you've given. In your name. Amen. All right. We are going to make sure this parachute guy heads back to Zeke. Charles, you're going to bring this back and you guys get some reminders that God's word is sweet. That's right, Alexander. There you go. There you go. It's up to your parents. There you go. Thanks so much for coming up, guys. Now all the older kids wish they had come up, right? There you go. Ada, thanks for coming up, sweetie. There you go. There you go, sweetie. Thank you. Good job, bud. Clara, thank you for being so patient. Oh, there you go, sweets. All right, while they're heading back to their seats, what do you do to kind of take yourself back to the beginning of things? While you're thinking about ways that things that kind of take you back to the beginning of things, pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you. You're the one that came at just the right time. You're the one that provides for us at just the right time. So Lord, meet us here by your Holy Spirit. Provide for us for what we need to hear you, to see you, to love you, and to live. In your name, amen. Friends, I bring grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And especially, it's a fun way to give you God's grace and peace today. Because we're in the midst of Christmas, believe it or not. Boxing Day is a thing. How many of you love Boxing Day, maybe more than Advent or Christmas? Right, you're going to take all the stuff down. So there's a great Reliant K song called Boxing Day. And the first line of it is, take it all down, Christmas is over. And I love that song, mostly because my kids hate it. They're like, Dad, don't play your sad Christmas song. So they always skip it, but I love it. And there's another great line in that song, Christmas makes way for spring. Right? There's a point. There's a whole reason behind why Jesus came. And it wasn't just to help us feel merry and bright. There's so much more to it. But I don't want to rush past Christmas either, right? Believe it or not, we're actually in the season of Christmas. Everybody else has the 25 days of Christmas, right? December 1st to the 25th, and then Christmas is over for them. Not us. We got 12 crazy days, my friends. And we're in the midst of it right now. So we're gonna remember Christmas. Now, what are some things that take you back? Maybe it's songs, like, or even a mixture of songs and movies. Like if I were to sing, Deck the Halls with Bells of Holly. And if somebody said, Take it, Russ, right? You know what I'm saying, right? Somebody else said, "Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls." Like, you, what's that from? That's A Wonderful Life. That's a great movie, right? So what took John, right? The author of today's text, the guy that is telling his story of witness about the life of Jesus, what took John back to the beginning, right? It was Jesus. And through Jesus, John saw all the way back to Genesis. And if you don't know what Genesis is, it's not just a moderate 80s rock pop band. It's the first book in the scriptures. It's the story of the beginning of everything. And Jesus takes John all the way back there. And so John wants to start there with anybody reading the story of Jesus. And through from Genesis, John saw that the Word, right, that phrase that Pastor Gabe read a few moments ago, the Word was at the beginning, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was doing all this stuff. This Word brought everything into being, was the Word of hope and a future that was coming for real, that was announced through the prophets. And by faith, John saw that the Word was all Jesus. Everything, Genesis through Malachi, Genesis through 2 Chronicles, all of those stories, all of those prophets, all the highs and lows, all of it was pointing to and fulfilled by the Word, the Logos, Jesus. Now, there's another apostle that has another account of Jesus. And he includes something else in his story that we also celebrate today in other churches around the globe. That is called the slaughter of the innocents. Now, why would John's friend Matthew and I bum you out with the story, with this terrible tragedy, especially when it's not in our reading at all today? Well, it's because when we talk about the Word made flesh, and we talk about why that actually matters, it's because Jesus didn't come for the lights and the cute, adorable baby in a feeding trough, and the humbleness and the peace and love and everything we celebrate and love about Christmas. He came for the tragedy, too. See, Jesus knew, God knew, when Jesus was going to be born, between then and age 2, somewhere in there, there were people ruling that were insecure, that were ruling through fear instead of compassion. And God knew the consequence, and I would argue Jesus knew the consequence, that his birth would mean and be surrounded by death. And Jesus came anyway, despite that tragedy and all the other deaths that would occur, because there was something more important than death, something that was worth the risk and the cost of death that he was bringing. And that's what John is talking about. John is talking about how there's light that no darkness will ever overcome. John talks about how there is life and fullness in him, and that it's worth the cost of following Jesus. It's worth the price of Jesus coming into the world for him, for the people he was writing to, for you. And so as we think about the Word made flesh, I encourage you to think about three things: existence that requires experience, experience that demands connection, and connection that needs love. Existence that requires experience, experience that demands connection, and connection that needs love. Now, to be clear, God, Jesus himself, did not need any of this. We did. You did. The Word made flesh makes a way for you. And that's what takes us into our first point: existence requires experience. Let's read verse 3 together. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Sometimes I wonder about the translation of things. That sounds pretty confusing. All right, and it's It's translated that way, so it's kind of like the English more closely matches the Greek, but it makes it a little hard to understand. Basically, all it's saying is that Jesus is the reason anything and everything exists. The world, the universe, would not function as it does if not for Jesus. You and I would not have form and life and meaning and purpose without Jesus. It all comes from him. Everything exists because God spoke it into being. And as we come to understand that Jesus is that spoken word, Jesus was also present as at creation, as the word that brought everything into existence. And then, as you read a little bit more into Genesis, we broke everything that God spoke, right? Everything that God made, everything that God formed, everything that he called good, and even the one part that was not good, a man there by himself, a human male, God provided a human female. So everything, anything that was lacking in God's creation, God provided. He made it good. Everything he spoke, we broke. And like Gabe said, and Pastor Gabe said in his introduction to the baptism moment, we're all born into this world turned away from God. And so everything spoken, everything broken, the word Jesus had to experience all of that spokenness, all of that brokenness, even though he was the one through whom everything comes together and holds together. He knew in order to redeem it, he had to come and submit himself in it, underneath it, to inhabit it. John goes on to say, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. His tabernacle, his home, the space he occupied. He didn't content himself just with being in and being himself, the presence of God. He left all that for you. And now because he did, everything that Jesus experienced in existence, he brought in to himself. There's a really old dude named Martin Chemnitz that writes a really thick book called Two Natures in Christ. And he talks a lot about it, but all you need to know from him, what he wrote, is that if it's not assumed, it's not redeemed. Meaning, if Jesus didn't take it into himself as a fully human person, then he didn't die to redeem it. But what's really great about that is, if you consider everything that Jesus did take into himself, his humanity, every human experience he had. If you've been with Emmaus for a little while, you've heard me talk about Jesus as an awkward teenager that was starting to grow a mustache, right? The caterpillar mustache Jesus, right? The peach fuzz Jesus, right? He went through all of that, and more, and worse, and better. Jesus endured all of that and celebrated all of that so that in him you can know that when you're going through your highest of highs and your lowest of lows, you're not going through that alone. I was talking to someone recently, the spouse of a friend, and this one said that I just have to do this on my own. And I shared with this individual that, I mean, as a spouse, you do have a unique perspective, but you're never actually alone. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be betrayed, to feel like he's all alone. And so he went through that. He takes that all into himself so that when you're at your lowest, when you feel like you're at your loneliest, Jesus is with you. And Jesus matters because the word, the light, who enters our darkness is not a messenger or intermediary, but he's God himself. The light that shines in the darkness is not a borrowed light. It's God, the source of light and life. And so Jesus enters this existence that he created to experience it and redeem it for you. And that experience, We see in Jesus' experience, it requires connection. And we'll explore a little bit more about what that means. Let's go to verses 4 and 5. In him was life. You can read with me if you want. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God knows human life, not only by observation or deep, intimate, ever-present knowledge of it, because he is, but that wasn't enough for him. That wasn't enough for redemption or salvation. Building on the last point, Jesus had to become human to redeem humanity. So, even though he's present in all things, he is fully human, experiencing fully human things. Jesus brings humanity then into the Trinity, right? We have God the Father, who is Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, who is Spirit, kind of by name. And then we have Jesus, who is eternal, but he's also human. And he is the one that brings humanity into the Trinity. So you can know and believe that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, absolutely gets what it's like to be human. What it's like to have days that are hectic. What it's like to go through heartache. What it's like to face things that are heinous. The darkness of this season that you encounter or experience, the darkness that you may receive from others, but to be honest, it's the darkness we experience in ourselves. Our own human frailty, our own hecticness that comes from within us, our own heartache that we inflict on others, our own heinous things that at least pop into our heads, and sometimes it comes out and damages lives. None of that is overcome. None of that overcomes the light of Jesus. No darkness can overcome the light of Jesus. So even when you feel your faith and your hope failing, kind of like you feel like you need a parachute to let you down during the holiday season, you may not feel like you have one. All you see is work starting, or school starting, or the lack of school or work continuing on past this break. And it feels like you're just, it's screaming up at you and you're just going to crash into it. Jesus steps in with his lights and his love, and he assures you and reassures you and reassures you over and over and over again. I am here. I'm the light of the world. And everything you are going through, with all of it, nothing will overcome who I am for you and with you. Jesus answers the darkness and its demands. Jesus answers the season and its demands. Jesus answers our to-do lists and its demands with love. Everything that's required of you, everything that's demanded of you, everything that you feel on your soul and on your body, Jesus answers with his light and his love and his peace. See, experience needs connection. It needs connection, so it's not just experiencing things in a vacuum. Right? Jesus didn't just come in and sample humanity. He submitted himself to two human parents and to a community that rejected him and to disciples who followed him but didn't really understand him for the longest time. And he gives himself to you, not because you get him or deserve him, but because he loves you and he knows you need his light, his strength, his power. That's what Jesus brings us. It's why his connection to us through baptism, through his word, through his spirit, through his church is such a powerful thing, especially during this time. Whether you've taken your Christmas decorations down or not, whether you're feeling disconnected from family or overconnected to family, Jesus is always connected to you. And that takes us to our last point. Connection needs love. Verses 14 and 16. Read this with me. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, the Word, the light, the life, the source and fulfillment of all of our hope. You think about the hopes that you're carrying with you for the end of this year, for the beginning of the next year, whatever exercise or diet or grades or achievements or status or whatever thing you're hoping to get or a college decision you're trying to make. Whatever that is, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of it. Which kind of sounds weird when we think about, like, how is Jesus the fulfillment of my college application, right? It's because Jesus knows where you're going to go. He knows what you're going to need. And whether that place is the right fit for you or not, he's with you. So hopefully that puts a little pressure off. Even if you make a wrong decision, God is still with you in that. So you can't choose wrong. And whatever else you may be facing this season. The gloom of January and February. Jesus reminds you that he comes in the clouds. That God filled the temple with a cloud. He guarded his people from slavery to the promised land in a cloud. The clouds, as dreary as they can seem to us, can also be a reminder that God covers over you with his presence to remind you he is with you for good. And so we see this connection then between Jesus and his light and his power and his presence and the people in his life. People that were convinced only because of Jesus' work in their midst that he is who he says he is. That he is the fulfillment of all prophecy and promises, all hopes and futures. And Jesus, the Word, the light, the life, the source of fulfillment of all our hope, all of our faith, all of our love, gives us even more. As if all of that wasn't enough, he gives it to us again and again. I mean, picture how stuffed you were from holiday cookies, right? Do any of you have cookies left? A few of you, okay. We have some in our freezer, all right? But we're out of town, right? So it's waiting for us when we get back. Yeah, we overfill on these things. And as stuffed as you may feel, sometimes sick, to be honest, with too much of it, Jesus gives you even more grace. Not so that you're sick of it, but so that you can have assurance that he never runs out. He never runs out. If you keep reading the rest of John's next work, what we know is his first letter, right? We call it 1 John. It's all about love. John doesn't necessarily talk that much about love, at least not as explicitly as he does in that letter, where he talks all about how God is love. And you can't know God and not love. And you can't not love and know God. Right? You have to, if you know God, you love. And if you love, that means you've encountered God already. This is why connection needs love. This is why Jesus came. Not like some exhausted worker at the returns desk, right? That's just going through the motions, like just working through their shift to get to the end so they can get off their feet. No, Jesus comes intentionally for you to bring you that love and that grace, an endless supply, because he knows we're going to hunger for it. We're going to doubt it. We're going to hesitate. We're going to have hecticness and heartache and have to deal with heinous things in our lives and our world. But he came to redeem you and everything from that. Existence, experience, connection, love, it all comes together in Jesus, even in the face of loss. And we may not know why God created everything. I don't think we do. We don't know his rationale when it comes to evil and existence and his plan. For many of us, it all seems like a giant contradiction. To that point, It's been a little over a year since my dad died. And the world has gotten better and worse. Grief has become harder and easier. Death and hope, grief and comfort. It's like I'm walking around living in a contradiction. But Jesus, the Word, the light, the life, love incarnate. Love that brings itself and brings into it all of my contradictions, all of my hecticness, all of my heartache, all of my longing, everything about me that's heinous. Jesus redeems me from it. He comforts me with his presence and his peace. Jesus meets me here with his very self, human and God, to redeem me. Jesus meets you here. Because the Word made flesh makes a way for you. In his name, amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for the experience, for the existence, for the connection, for the love that you bring into all of it. It makes something like Christmas even more meaningful than we could even possibly imagine. Lord, even though you never celebrated Christmas yourself, Lord, you're the reason why we celebrate. Why we travel crazy distances and squeeze into rooms too small for us. Why we eat and why we wonder and why we sing, why we laugh. And in the moments that are in between those celebrations where it rings a little hollow, Lord, we know that you fill those moments too with love and light and peace. Lord, help us to believe, follow. In your name, amen. Pastor Gabe, come up here, lead us through this next moment. As we think about Christmas and what we